The gospel reading today has, over the years, been extremely challenging. Some say in this gospel reading, Jesus calls this Canaanite woman a dog. How incredibly disrespectful. Well, in fact, he doesn't call her a dog, but it's close enough, and it's certainly disrespectful. And that's very unlike the character we normally see in Jesus. So my hope is today, as we look at these accompanying texts, as we look closer at this gospel text, we will find the heart of God deep within it, a heart of love and mercy, even for this Canaanite woman. But let's start with Isaiah. We move to the end, that is the last section of the prophet Isaiah. In this section, Isaiah is moving back and forth between a word of promise and hope for an exiled people that they will be restored and brought back to Israel, while at the same time saying to the people, and especially to the leaders of Israel, you need to be obedient to me. You need to follow and worship only me. And our text starts off, this is what the Lord says, maintain justice, do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. God is coming to rescue his people, and they want to be on the right side. Now, being on the right side is an important thing to think about when we think about God's chosen people, the people of Israel. And as we move through the Old Testament, there seems to be a bit of confusion depending on where you are. It's clear in the beginning, when God chooses Abraham, that he blesses him so that he can bless all the nations through him. But often, as God's chosen people, the people of Israel, forget that. As we turn then to Isaiah 56, verse 6, it says this, and the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The prophet Isaiah is saying to the people of Israel, not only are you my chosen people who are faithful to me and looking to me to rescue you, not only will you be rescued, but those who have somehow been influenced by you, those outside the promise who have yet come to worship me, kept my Sabbath, followed me faithfully, they too will be brought to the holy city, to the dwelling place of God. They too will be included and have their joy enter into their worship of the one and true living God. And we hear also in this text the words that Jesus used from the prophet Isaiah when he went to the Temple Mount and when he overturned the tables of the money changers and said there, don't you know that my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. There's that word again, that people, plural word with an extra S on it, reminding us that all the various people groups of the world are loved by God. It is God's desire to embrace and include all of those people. This final word then, in verse 8 of Isaiah 56, says this, the Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. I've been a Christian my whole life. My grandmother was a Christian before me. I'm a third generation Christian. I wonder how many of you, raise your hands, how many of you are at least third generation Christians? You see, when we read the scripture, especially the Old Testament, we often read as if we're in the chosen group. We read and we understand, and we're even challenged by these words of Isaiah to say, hey, look, you need to be faithful to God. Hey, look, even those outsiders, those people, they will be included. But for a moment, I want us to remember that we're reading Isaiah. We're reading the Old Testament. And so when it says this, I will gather yet others, who are those others? Who is Isaiah talking about that will be gathered along with the people of Israel, along with those foreigners who are with them who serve the living God? It's us. This is the promise of Isaiah that was fulfilled in Jesus, that you and I would also be gathered with the living God. It's a beautiful promise, and it's ours. Then as we turn to the psalm for today that Greg sang for us, we see there, it says, God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause your face to shine on us, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Here, the psalmist is following that same theme of the call of Abraham. Lord, bless us so that you can bless everyone else. Let your blessing upon us be a sign to the peoples everywhere that they too can receive this blessing from you. Then it goes on to say this, let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee, and then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. The focus is not on the goodness of the people of Israel. The focus is not on our goodness. The focus is on the goodness of God. And they're being reminded that the sun shines on all the people, good and bad. The rains come on all the people, good and bad. The earth yields its increase. The earth bears food so that all people might eat. It doesn't just shine for the good people. The rain doesn't just come to water the crops of the good people. The earth shows the blessing and desire of God for all people. Then we look at Paul's letter to the Romans. And Paul has been talking about how the Gentiles have received the grace of God and how the Jewish people have rejected Jesus as the Messiah for the most part. And he comes to this place in Romans 11 where he says, has God rejected his people? No way. No way. We have to remember that God is faithful, that he will never relinquish his promise. And so there's a bit of an explanation here in Romans chapter 11. There's a suggestion that just as God has now blessed the Gentiles because they refused to receive the gospel, now the gospel has been spread to the Gentiles and they've received it. And the question is, has now God substituted the Gentiles for the Jews as his people? No way. What instead is happening, as explained here by Paul, is that as God blesses the Gentiles, hopefully the Jews will remember what it is like to be God's chosen holy people, and that they then will also return to God. It's important for us to remember that God loves everyone, that our being chosen to be followers of Jesus is not God rejecting others. In fact, God choosing us puts a responsibility on us, a calling on us, an opportunity upon us to be representatives of God to the rest of the world. But we have to remember that. Paul even reminds them that he himself is a Jew, that God's faithfulness, his faithful promise to the children of Abraham is expressed in his faithfulness to Paul. Now remember, Paul was Saul. He was an enemy to the Christians. He was seeking to lock them up, and he was a part of the stoning and killing of Stephen. And yet God comes in mercy and restores him and sets him up as one of his key evangelists in the world. That's our reminder that God can have such mercy upon us that he can transform us into his servants, into those who sing his praise and give him honor. And he can do the same thing with you and I. So let's turn to this gospel lesson today, this good news word from Matthew that is a hard one. First thing I want us to remember is that Jesus is being encountered here in a land outside of Israel where lots of foreigners dwell, but he's being encountered by a Canaanite woman. A Canaanite woman. Do you remember who the Canaanites are? The Canaanites are the people that God commanded Joshua and the people of Israel to wipe off the face of the earth when they came into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. The Canaanites were supposed to be destroyed. This is an enemy. And in Jesus' day, the Canaanites were still considered to be the enemies of the Jews. On top of that, it was very inappropriate in that culture for a woman to speak to a man in public who was not her husband, and even her husband she should be speaking to in the privacy of their home. So when this Canaanite woman comes out, what does Jesus say? Nothing. Not a word. This woman comes and begs before Jesus, acknowledges as him, Lord, the Son of David, tells him about the problem she's having with her daughter, and Jesus says nothing. He completely ignores her. That doesn't sound like Jesus. On the other hand, the response of the disciples sounds very much like the disciples. They come to Jesus and say, Lord, send her away. She's bothering us. Do you remember the last time we heard the disciples ask Jesus to send someone away? In the feeding of the 5,000, at the end of the day, they were all tired and they were getting hungry, and they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, send them away. Let them help themselves. And then Jesus says, no, you feed them. And the miracle happened. So what happens here when they come to Jesus and say, send her away? What does Jesus say? He says, I have come only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now at this point, if I'm one of the 12, I'm going to say, yes, that's right. You have been sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, so send her away. She doesn't have anything to do with us. She's not within the realm of those people you're supposed to bless. So get her out of here. You agree with us. But before the disciples can respond, this Canaanite woman, this desperate mother, who essentially hears that she's not only been rejected by silence, but now rejected by the very understanding of Jesus' own purpose. She says, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. She begs. She begs for help. Now, at this point, knowing Jesus as we know Jesus, we've already established we've been Christians, many of us, for generations. What kind of an expectation do you have of Jesus at this point? When the woman has acknowledged that he's the Lord, the Son of David, has begged for help, pleaded for help for her poor sick daughter, what do you expect Jesus to do? Well, heal her, of course, but no. Jesus says to her, "It is not right to give the children's food to the dogs." Sounds like a rejection to me. It's not right for me to help you. You are as a dog to me. You don't matter. You don't deserve my help. This is insult upon insult. But it's an insult that kind of fits the context. It kind of fits the expectation. There was polarization in that time and place between the Jews and the non-Jews, and especially those who were most faithful Jews were really struggling with the Romans and their rule over the people of Israel, and how those other Jews, those sort of softy Jews, were sort of going along with the Romans. There's a distinction between us and them, and Jesus just laid it out. It's not right for the children's food to be given to the dogs. How does the woman respond? Let's remember who she is. A desperate mother. What are we willing to do for our children? Whatever it takes. She doesn't turn to Jesus and claim, "Wait a minute, my daughter has a right to be treated as well as anybody else." No, not at all. She hears Jesus' analogy. She connects it to who she understands Jesus to be. And what does she say? "Even the dogs eat the scraps from the master's table." What does she understand? First, she understands that Jesus helping her daughter doesn't take anything away from the people of Israel. Jesus' power to heal and bring grace and mercy and restoration isn't a limited power. It isn't scarce. It's abundant. And in that abundant mercy, it won't take anything away from the people of Israel to help this Canaanite woman. And if we listen to Paul in Romans, we even learn that maybe Jesus helping this Canaanite woman will serve as an example to the chosen people for how they ought to be behaving, how they ought to be responding, not in the typical way that Jesus has just laid out for them in the evidence of his own behavior, first ignoring and then insulting. No, that's not the way it should be. What does Jesus say now? He says, "Great is your faith." Jesus says to this Canaanite woman, "Great is your faith." Do you remember the last time Jesus talked about faith and who he was talking to? It was in the boat with Peter. After Peter had walked on the water and then sank, and Jesus rescued him and put him back in the boat, Jesus refers to Peter's faith. He says, "Oh, you of little faith." And now he refers to this Canaanite woman as, "Great is your faith, and be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter is healed instantly. She knows she doesn't deserve it. She knows she doesn't have a right to it. But she also knows the God of Israel, the Messiah of Israel, is a God of great mercy, of abundant mercy. And she too can be included in that mercy. You see, the one God who reigns over all is God over all. Jesus isn't just Christ the Lord for the Christian church. He is Christ the Lord over all creation. God the Father is not just the creator of the Christian church. He's the creator of the entire world. His love is not simply for us. It is for all. And it's evidenced over and over again in our text that God would have mercy. And it's a calling upon us, his people, to receive that mercy, to receive that grace, to receive that blessing, and extend it to those people that are different from us, those people that disagree with us, those people that don't even follow our Lord. Maybe they're atheists. Maybe they're Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist. But what are we to do with those people? Love them. Model the abundant mercy of Almighty God to them. We are to remember that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And it's the people who most disagree with us that we need to take the greatest care to show that God cares. And if God cares about them, we are to care about them. We can't dismiss them. We can't silence them. We can't pretend like we don't even hear them. We respond with the grace we ourselves have been given from God. We love with the love we have first received from God. In this time, we too live in a culture that is polarized. We too are often drawn to one side of the argument or the other. And often, I have to admit, there are times when I'm listening to something on the news or on TV, and I just have to walk out of the room. I just don't even want to hear it. And now I'm convicted. Those people I don't want to hear, those people I don't want to listen to, those people I don't want to pay attention to, it might be those very people that God has called me to extend his blessing to. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Remember that your Savior came to seek and to save the lost, and he'll do it even through us. Thanks be to God.